Freshman Raymond Esquino walks through campus in a cold drizzle and stops to look up at the pumpkins impaled on the spires of Rounds Hall.
When it first happened, I was really curious. I was really trying to like ask around, figure out how it happens, but no one really knows. I think there's a little hatch at the top and they pop out of the clock tower and just put them on the spire. I can't see the hatch. I've been trying to figure out how they do it. Hi, Rachel.
And with that, Raymond Esquino loses all interest in pumpkins and runs off after Rachel. You will never solve the riddle at this rate. It was as the Rounds Hall clock tower bells spoke of the 2 o'clockness of the hour that Jane Weber, the director of the university's writing center, stopped by to pick up Raymond Esquino's hastily discarded wonder.
Is it helicopters? Is it drones? Is it outer space aliens? I don't know. In October, they magically appear every year, and I can't imagine how they get there. It's an active secret, I would say.
I meet with someone who knows this active secret in one of the classrooms at Rounds Hall. Louise McCormick is the president of the Plymouth Historical Society.
And it was 2 Fridays ago, I looked up and I said, oh my gosh, I did my double take. They're there again.
McCormick says she knows about the secret Great Pumpkin Society, knows how they get the pumpkins up there, but then takes it all back and changes the subject. Did I know that Robert Frost taught in this very room in 1912 and likely looked out this very window?
Now pretend it's a gorgeous day out there. The sun is there and you've got the foliage there. That's what he saw. Amazing, just absolutely amazing.
McCormick is working on a book on the shared history of the town and school, researching the mystery of the Great Pumpkins tradition, which began in 1975. She was given a tour of the clock tower itself. There's no hatch up there, Raymond Esquino. Hi, Rachel. But there are 2 floors.
We went up a little bit to the next level. From the outside, you see the beautiful faces there, north, south, east, and west of the clock. Now we're on the inside. I'm looking up above, and there's huge beams there. They look like they're gouged out.
Those gouges on the beams, it turns out, are the carved names of past members of the Great Pumpkin Society.
I've been told that there's a book up there in the eaves
listing the names of those in the secret society
and the history of the Great Pumpkin Society, as well as some anecdotal stories.
But McCormick has never found that book. And when I ask her again how they get the pumpkins up onto the twin spires, she tells me instead that ghosts have been seen silhouetted behind those clock faces.
So they have the recordings of ghosts here.
And did I know that the bell in the clock tower above us was made by associates of Paul Revere? And what about the secret that lays below our very feet?
Do you know the tunnels of Plymouth? Yeah. When the normal schools girls were here, they could actually go underneath and they wouldn't have to be bothered with any type of inclement weather.
I guess we won't be finding out today. Even the secret about who knows the secret is itself a secret. But that, McCormick says, is the secret.
It brings people together. It's something to talk about. And I smile. We need to smile right now. That's healthy.
And while they may not be sprinkled with the fairy dust of Linus's Great Pumpkin, nearly rising in that sincerest of pumpkin patches, the mystery of Plymouth's Great Pumpkins is enough. For NHPR News, I'm Sean Early.